Numbers chapter 32. In verse 20, we'll pick up here. He says, if you will do this thing, if you will go armed before the Lord to war, Numbers chapter 32, and now in verse 21, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord until he hath driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord, then afterward ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel. And this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. I want to preach on this thought this morning. Be sure your sin will find you out. The tribes of Reuben and Gad and half of the tribe of Manasseh, they've approached Moses and they have expressed their desire to have the portion of the land east of Jordan as their possession. After Moses strong protest to them, they propose that they will go with their brethren, fight the battle, secure the possession of Canaan before they take possession of their portion. Moses agreed to the proposal, but again warns them that if they do not do their part, then they have sinned, and be sure your sin will find you out. Now, the sin that they would be committing would be discouraging the hearts of their brethren by their lack of participation and lack of faithfulness in doing the will of God. Sin is like leaven in bread. It grows until the mixture is leavened throughout. Sin is like cancer. It grows and spreads until the body is consumed. Sin is like rot or decay. It spreads until the whole supply of food is contaminated. Sin is like a terrible disease. It spreads until a whole family or a whole community is made sick. Sin is like a bad cold. It comes upon you at the worst possible moment. Of course, I'll be honest with you, I cannot think of a good time to have a bad cold. Can I have a witness there? This topic that we're looking at, be sure your sin will find you out. I want to reiterate that there's nothing good about sin at all. I want to look at seven people in the message. We're going to look at seven people in the Word of God, all of them whose sin found them out. We look at Cain in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 13, after God had rejected his offering of the fruit of the ground, picturing an offering of the works of man. He had accepted the offering of Abel, which was the offering of a lamb, a blood sacrifice that God had accepted. And Cain was upset at God because his offering was not accepted. And after God had given him another opportunity to get it right, Cain, instead of following God's command of a blood sacrifice, he decided that he would be angry with his brother Abel, and his bitterness toward God was exhibited toward Abel, and it grew to hate, and he murdered his brother Abel and tried to conceal the crime. He had taken Abel and had buried him and covered the shed blood and thought that he was going to be all right, that he was going to get away with it. But God saw what happened, and the blood of Abel cried out to God for vengeance. I want to say that there are three things in a nation, in a people, that God will bring judgment. Number one, he'll judge a nation over idolatry. If we turn to other gods, God is going to judge that nation. Number two, God will judge a nation over immorality. And idolatry and immorality go hand in hand. They're like kissing cousins. A nation that becomes immoral, God is going to judge. And then, number three, innocent blood. And I want to remind you that there have been millions upon millions of innocent blood that has been shed in this land since 1973 under Roe versus Wade. And that the blood of those innocent unborn children are crying out to God for vengeance. Just like the blood of Abel cried out to God for vengeance. Cain buried the body, but he was not able to silence the blood of Abel that cried to God for vengeance. And neither will we silence the blood of those innocent babies that are crying to God for vengeance for their untimely and their sinful deaths. Amen. And God is going to judge America. God hears the cry of that blood. Cain thought he had covered everything up, but his sin found him out. And when God faced him with his sin, Cain said, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." Cain, even at this point, instead of crying to God for mercy and coming to God God's way, chose to continue to go his own path. He said, "My sin, my punishment is greater than I can bear." And let me tell you, if you die without Christ, your sin, your punishment will be greater than you can bear. And you don't have to bear that. Jesus bore it all. He paid it all the sin I owe. He paid the debt when he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. And if you'll come to God God's way in repentance and faith, that God will save your never dying soul. Cain, his sin found him out, and he was driven from the presence of the Lord. We have another one. We have a group of brothers, Joseph's brothers. Their sin found them out. They were jealous of Joseph's blessings. Joseph was an obedient child. His brethren were not. Joseph was chosen to be the leader, to be the supervisor of his brethren. And also that God had given him dreams about the future. His brethren were so jealous and they were so envious of their brother. Not only could they not stand their brother, but they could not even speak peaceably unto him. So they come up with the scheme as Joseph was going out trying to find them that they were going to kill him. But instead that they decided that they put him in a pit and they sold him into slavery. Well, with this scheme that they had come up with, Joseph's brethren felt like, well, we'll make it look like that Joseph died. They took his coat of many colors and they dipped it in lamb's blood and they brought it to the father and said, "We don't know if this is your son's coat or not." I mean, they didn't say he was their brother. "And we don't know if this is the coat of your son or not. You let us know." And Jacob had mourned and mourned and mourned and mourned until the day that he got the message from Joseph years later. And his brethren, the Joseph's sons, could not comfort him. They could not help him because he was mourning for somebody that had not died. And so his brethren had come up with a plan. We'll never see Joseph again. He's going to go down into slavery in Egypt. We'll never see him again. We've got everything covered up, and they thought everything was all right. But their sin found them out. Years later, there's a famine that had come in the land. God had used their evil scheme to put Joseph down in the Potiphar's house and in the prison house to put him in Pharaoh's house. And God had given Joseph the plan by which Egypt and also his brethren survived a 7-year famine. And the brethren had gone down to buy corn in Egypt. And who do they go to? None other but their brother who they sold into slavery. Now only God can put something like that together. Their sin had found them out. Judah had told Joseph, and they didn't know who Joseph was even at this point. He said, "God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants." He was not just talking about the money that was stolen from Joseph's house and one of his silver cups that was stolen. But they, in the presence of Joseph, they didn't know this was Joseph, and they stated that we are being judged and we're facing the condemnation because we heard the anguish of our brother's soul and we had no compassion on him. Though they had covered up their sin, they had gotten rid of their brother, yet those brethren had a conscience that condemned them. And at the time that they were faced with enslavement themselves, they realized that they were receiving what they deserved because they did the same thing to their brother. Their sin found them out. And Joseph revealed himself to them and he was merciful to them. I mean, the very brother that they tried to get rid of was the very person that God used to spare their lives. And not only that, but even after Jacob had died, the brethren were still concerned. Well, Joseph's going to certainly get us now, and there's nothing to stop him. And Joseph said, you don't have to worry about me. I've forgiven you. And God has used this for our good and for His glory. But these brethren, their sin found them out. Though they were forgiven, though they were restored, they live with the regret for what they had done to their brother for the rest of their lives. Joseph's brother's sin found them out. Samson, his sin found him out. Samson was a man that was given the appetites. Whatever he wanted, he got it. Samson was a man that played with sin. Playing with sin is like playing with rattlesnakes. I wouldn't recommend it, okay? Now, if you're a snake handler and you paid to catch them critters, God bless you. God called you to do that. He didn't call me, amen? I'm allergic to snakes. They make me break out and run, amen? I don't care for them. And I'm thankful that during the millennial reign, I don't believe they're going to be around, amen? Amen. I hope they're not anyway. Samson was a man given appetites. He went around who he wanted to go around with. He married who he wanted to marry. He run around with who he wanted to run around with. He played with sin. He looked at sin as something that was a game. But Samson met his Delilah. Yeah. Hey, some of you men, you mess around with the wrong kind of women. Let me tell you something. There's the Delilah coming your way. And she's going to be smarter than you are. Amen. Let me tell you, men, women are smarter than men anyway. And you're going to meet one that's going to dial your number and going to know what you're made of and going to bring you down. The way of a strange woman is a way to hell, the Bible says in Proverbs. Samson played around with sin. He said, I've got the anointing. He took God's anointing for granted. He thought he would always be strong. He thought that there was no situation that he could get in that he couldn't get out of. There's always a woman smarter than you, buddy. And there's always a group that's more powerful than you are. Hey, you might be the big boy on the block. You might be the big dude in town, and there's nobody that's whipped you yet. But there is somebody that's going to be able to take you down. Samson met Delilah, and he played around. But Delilah wasn't playing, and neither were the Philistines. And he had told the secret of his strength, and he thought, in fact, when they cut his hair, and he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. He said, I'm going to run out like I did before. But the anointing of God and the power of God had departed him, and they bound him, and they brought him to the Philistines. Samson was doing well, but he fell suddenly. His sin found him out. Samson learned about sin the hard way. They bound him. Sin binds. Sin doesn't set you free. Sin binds. And then they took him down to the mill house and he grinded. Sin binds. And sin blinds. They put his eyes out. Sin will make you blind to your need of the Lord. Sin will make you blind to the need of prayer. Sin will make you blind to the need of the Word of God. Sin will make you blind to the need of the house of God. Sin will make you blind to the spiritual needs that you have. And sin will make you blind to how truly deadly sin is. Sin will bind you. Sin will blind you, and then sin will make you grind. Samson, his sin found him out. He fell suddenly, and he was reduced to doing the labor of what they would use an ox to do. They tied him to the millstone, and he went round and round throughout his days grinding meal. Sin will grind you. It will wear you out. It will bring you down. It will defeat you. It will discourage you. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Samson fell suddenly and now is in the basement of a mill house. Let's look at David. His sin found him out. In 2 Samuel 12, we read that David, or earlier than that, David stayed home when he should have gone to battle. There are folks that, and I realize that with swing shifts and jobs, sometimes people cannot always make it to the house of the Lord. But there are those that are not here today because they chose not to be here. They have no legitimate reason for not being in the church today. Well, David, he should have been going out to battle. He had a job to do, but he took a sick day and he called in sick. Amen. Can I say that if you're sick, thank God for a sick day. But if you just feel bad and don't feel like going into work and you call in sick, you're lying. Amen. You're lying. Now, if they'll let you say, well, take a sick day if you want to, and you're honest with your supervisor, then, well, glory to God, hallelujah, there's nothing wrong with that. But David, he stayed home when he should have gone to battle. Well, he was out on the roof where he shouldn't have been, and Bathsheba was taking a bath, and David saw her, and he coveted her, and he made a little arrangement to have a little liaison, and he committed adultery with her, sent her home, and then she found out she was expecting a child. And so what David did, he covered his sin through deceit. He covered his sin through murder. And then after he had Uriah killed in the battle, then he took Bathsheba in and married her. And David thought he had everything covered. Everything's good, nobody knows. But Nathan came. The man of God came. God saw what David did. And Nathan came along, and Nathan, as a true preacher of the Word of God, he knew just how to take that gospel gun, load it with the right kind of ammunition, and hit the bullseye. He had a story that David certainly agreed with and said, this man is guilty. And Nathan said, David, thou art the man. Nathan came with a pointed message. David's sin found him out. I remember before I got saved, and I would sit in Fellowship Baptist Church in Williamson, North Carolina, and how that Brother Donald Jones would preach, and I'm thinking, my, who is telling him what I'm doing? I mean, he'd preach on what I was doing every Sunday night and every Wednesday night. They had an evangelist come in. Praise God, I thought I was off the hook. And he knew what I was. I mean, and no matter who it was, they knew what I was doing, knew how I was living. And I didn't understand that. I know now that was the Holy Ghost. What happened? God laid on them men's heart, those men of God's heart, to bring the message that went right to my heart. Now, you may sit here sometimes and pray, how does a preacher know what I'm doing? Well, I don't always know what you're doing. But God knows what you're doing, and He knows how to lay on my heart the message how to get to you. Amen. And now there are some things that I do know, and if you're not ashamed to do it, I ain't ashamed to preach against it. Amen. So I will say that. So I'm not dumb as a rock, but I tell you what, there have been times I've gone to witness to somebody, and I don't want to be offensive. I'm not trying to hurt somebody and discourage them, but I'll use an illustration that come to my mind, and it'll be on the very sin that they're struggling with. I didn't do that. God does that. So David had a message from the man of God. David's sin found him out. And though David was forgiven and restored, the sword never left David's house. He died as a man fighting battles, not only with the enemies without, but the divisions of his family within. Solomon, his sin found him out. He was the richest man, the wisest man that ever lived that was born of woman, next to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But Solomon loved many strange women. 700 wives, 300 concubines, 1,000 women living under the same realm. I would say under the same roof, but Solomon was smart enough to build a few houses. Amen. Solomon loved many strange women. And Solomon's wives turned his heart away from God. He worshiped Asheroth, which is similar to the goddess Venus, which is a goddess of fertility and immorality. He worshiped Molech, which was the offer of their children to the gods. He worshiped other strange gods that were immoral and indecent. Solomon's wives turned his heart away from God, but because Solomon, he's the king, the wisest king, the richest king that ever lived, perhaps he thought, I can get away with it. We read in Ecclesiastes where he gave himself to follow all kind of pursuits in life. But Solomon, and not only did Solomon's wives turn his hearts away from God, but as I was reading and studying, that Solomon built altars to these false gods near the temple that he had built. But God dealt with Solomon. God sent Solomon a strong message. He said, because your heart's turned away, I'm going to judge you. I'm going to divide the kingdom, and I'm going to give it to somebody else, but I'm not going to do it in your day. I'm going to do it in your son's day. He sent a strong message of judgment. But instead of Solomon heeding that, he continued on. He sent him adversaries that opposed him, that fought him. And he sent Solomon leanness of soul. Ecclesiastes 1 verse 2, I believe Solomon is an old man. He said, vanity of vanities, emptiness of emptiness, saith the preacher, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. Solomon's sin found him out. And as he approached crossing over to the other side, the wisest man looked back at his life and had many regrets. Let's look at Abraham. His sin found him out. He didn't believe that God could give him a son through Sarai. So he took things into his own hands. He listened to his wife, and he took her handmaiden, and they had a child called Ishmael. And Abram thought everything's okay. Hey, we've got a son. Everything is fine. But for 13 years, Genesis chapter 16, Abram was 86 years old. He was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram, and in Genesis 17 and verse 1, and when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. For 13 years, God did not speak to Abraham because Abraham took things into his own hands. Abram thought everything was okay, but he went 13 years without communion with God. His sin found him out. And as a result, he had turmoil in his house. Now we've looked at Cain. We've looked at Joseph's brethren. We have looked at Samson, at David, at Solomon. The seventh person I want to look at is you and me. What about you? Where are you failing? Where are you coming short of the glory of God? Don't answer that out loud. What sin is besetting you? What is the besetting sin that is crippling you and hindering you from having the power and the glory of God in your life? What are your actions as a result of your sin? What are you doing about your dilemma? How will sin find you out? Each of these people that we talked about, the circumstances, sin was unique. As the person was unique, so was the outcome. Cain's judgment came severe, and he lost his soul. Joseph's brethren took about 20-some years before theirs came about. And they lived with a regret the rest of their life. Samson, his came overnight. David's took about a year. Solomon, it took him till the end of his life. How will your sin find you out? You say, well, I've got a lot of time. Your sin may find you out today. You say, well, I'll have time to get right with the Lord. You may not have that opportunity. How will sin find you out? Moses told Manasseh, the half-tribe of Manasseh and Gad and Reuben, he said, if you've sinned against the Lord, be sure your sin will find you out. What price will you have to pay? Ronald Reagan, in his first inaugural address in 1981, said, I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing. Now, concerning the actions of your actions as a result of your sin and what you're going to do about your sin, if you ignore your sin, or you attempt to cover it, or you do nothing about it, your sin's going to find you out. To ignore your sin, or to do nothing about it, or to try to cover it up, is a dangerous attitude concerning your sin. It's just as bad to assume that the outcome of your sin will be terrible no matter what you do concerning your sin. You say, no matter what I do to get right, I'm going to still have a problem. It is not inevitable that our sin will find us out no matter what we do. It is not inevitable that you're going to have some terrible calamity that's going to come upon you because of your sin. It is not inevitable. I mean, just because we've read of some outcomes of men of God, of men in the Bible, and some of them came out okay, some of them did not come out well at all, but all of them had suffered because their sin found them out, but yet, just because they had that dilemma, they had that problem, doesn't mean that you and I have to have the same. What are we to do? I use the word we instead of you because we all face the same battles of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And I want to keep the focus upon us as individuals. When I say we, I'm not saying that we collectively as a church. I'm not saying we collectively as families. I'm talking about we and that every one of us individual, you, every one of you, myself, that we're all included, that if we're not careful, that our sin will find us out. Everybody's included. Including myself, when I ask this question of all of us. What then are we to do? Well, let me propose this. Instead of letting our sin find us out, let's find out our sin. Proverbs 28 and verse 13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. One of the similar conditions, one of the common traits of the six Bible men that we looked at in our message today, all six of them attempted to cover their sin. All six of them. And all six of them failed in successfully covering their sin. And it is safe to say that you and I will fail if we try to cover, I can't even cover a microphone that the little spongy thing came off. Amen. How do you think I'm going to cover sin? Amen. All right. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Now, we know that it would have been best for the six examples that I looked at. The six men were the brethren of Joseph, that group of men. It would have been best if they had not sinned in the first place. Can I have a witness there? Okay. But they did sin. And their sin cannot be undone. Just like your sin and my sin cannot be undone. I mean, you could look at somebody, you could look at me, I could look at you, say, would we have been better if we had not sinned? Of course. But we have sinned. We have come short. So therefore, it is important that we deal with the shortcoming. All of them made the mistake of attempting to cover up their sin as it had never happened, or that it was no serious consequence. And as Proverbs 28 verse 13 stated, they did not prosper. Their sin found them out. Each person's situation was unique and how things transpired, but their sin did find them out. Look at some verses. Numbers 32, verse 23. Be sure your sin will find you out. I mean, it doesn't say, be sure your sin will be found out. There are people that have lived in sin that nobody's found out about it, but it doesn't say that. It says, be sure your sin will find you out. It will find you and hunt you down. Genesis 44, verse 16. Judah said, God had found out the iniquity of thy servants. God sees what's going on. Look at the nature of sin in Psalm and Isaiah 59 and verse 12. Our transgressions are multiplied before thee. You know why sin cannot be covered up? You know why sin will be found out? Because it multiplies. I mean, you put it somewhere and it grows and grows and grows until you cannot hide it. And not only does your transgressions multiply, but Isaiah said our sins testify against us. Our sin testifies against you and I and condemn us to being guilty. Our transgressions are with us, and our iniquities, we know them. Psalm 90 and verse 8, thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. You may cover your sin, nobody may see it, but listen and listen. Well, God sees it. He sees the sin that you commit in the darkest of night as if you have committed it in the noon hour. Proverbs 140 and verse 11, evil shall hunt the violent man to overthrow him. Sin will find you out because it's like a hunter chasing after a deer. It's going to set its sight on you, and the hounds are going to chase you until you are targeted and taken out. Proverbs 13 and verse 21, evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. These verses that I quoted from show us how sin works against us. It is like leaven. You take a little bit of leaven. They're not better than that homemade bread that Renee and her mama make. They take a little bit of that starter and they'll put it in that dough, and that starter will permeate, that leaven will permeate until all of that dough is leavened. That's what sin does. Hey, you could cover that sin. David tried it. Joseph's brethren tried it. Samson tried it. You can take a little tiny itty-bitty bit of sin and hide it somewhere, and it will spread and grow and spread and grow until it takes over. That's why you can't cover sin. He that covereth sin shall not prosper. Sin, unattended, though covered up, though ignored, sin will grow and advance until it manifests itself. The only way to deal with sin is to find it out, or it will find you out. Sin must be confronted. You've got to deal with it. Sin must be confronted. I've sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin must be confronted. It must be dealt with. Number two, sin must be confessed for what it is. Whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. 1 John 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sin must be cleansed. And there's only one thing that cleanses sin, and that is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we deal with sin in this matter, confront it, confess it, be cleansed of it, while we may not avoid the reaping of the harvest of sin, because you're going to reap what you sow, we can certainly minimize the effects of the harvest of sin, receive the grace to make it through, and have our fellowship restored. Consider the cost that each person that we looked at in this message paid for covering their sin instead of confronting it. Every one of them could have had different outcomes if they had dealt with their sin. Abraham lost direction from God for a long period of time. No communication. Solomon looked over his life. If you read Ecclesiastes, he looked over his life with many regrets. David never saw peace in his life. Samson was reduced to the position of a brute beast. Joseph's brethren lived with a father whose heart was broken and a conscience that was always condemning them. Cain lived as a fugitive and a vagabond and forfeited his own soul. What price will you pay if you do not confront your sin, if you do not confess your sin, if you're not cleansed? What price will you pay? What price have you paid? What price will I and what price have I paid? Now, and we just take about another minute or two, each of us can identify with one or more of the people that we looked at in the message. There's somewhere that we can identify, or maybe identify with more than one of them. In some way, shape, form, or fashion, I think that every one of us can identify with one of the six events that took place that we went to, looked at in the Word of God. And if you cannot identify with these, there are others in the Word of God that you can identify with, others whose sin found them out. Unlike them, we have an opportunity to do something. God laid this message on my heart as a warning to you, yes, and to me, that I can find my sin out, or my sin will find me out. That choice is up to me. You may be here and you're lost without Christ. You know, if you died right now, you'd go to hell. You're not sure of where you're going to spend eternity. Let me tell you, when you die and you go to hell, it's going to be too late. But you can do something about it now. You hear, you know that you're saved. And you know that you've sinned against God. And there's some that you'll come to an altar, you'll do business with God. But there are others that, and I think sometimes people don't realize the gravity of the nature of their sin as believers. That you'll sit through another service, you'll wait for me to sing a couple of songs of an invitation. Then you'll go out and think, well, I'm doing all right. But let me tell you this, be sure your sin will find you out. What you need to do is get the jump on the gun and find your sin out, come clean with God, confess your sin, ask and seek His forgiveness, be restored, so that way you don't have to deal. I mean, you still got to deal with the consequences of the sin, but you don't have to deal with the consequences of trying to cover it up and it multiply and get worse. Hey, what if Cain had gotten right with God about his bitterness? His brother would not have died. What if Joseph's brethren would have gotten right with Joseph about their bitterness? He would have never been sold into slavery. What if David had gotten right about his adulterous affair with Bathsheba? The situation. The thing about it is, as bad as these sins are that these men committed, Solomon, he couldn't send 1,000 wives home now. But at least he might not have had his heart turned away from God. See, as bad as what these people, as bad as their sin is, it was a lot worse because they tried to cover it up. Their sin found them out. And if I try to cover up my sin, your sin will also find you out.